For people who have a personal computer, there are so many more options now in terms of accessing books than there used to be. Finding them is a challenge, and Anna Dresner has put together a book that addresses that concern. She joins me now to talk about her latest offering that's been published by National Braille Press. Anna, welcome back to the program. Tell us about this latest book of yours that's now available from National Braille Press.
It's called Finding Ebooks on the Internet, and it's a pretty self-explanatory title. The focus is, I broke the topic down basically into accessible ebooks from sources like libraries, then public domain books, commercially available books that are accessible, and then there's a chapter on the future of ebooks that has DAISY and some of that kind of information. My focus is books that you can read as opposed to books you can listen to, just as a way to keep the topic kind of or manageable for a reasonable sized book.
It's really fantastic just how many options that we have as blind people these days with computers in terms of getting reading material, often at no charge.
It really is amazing. It's been so much fun over the last few years to find out what to have things available. I guess my first encounter was when we were in Japan in 95. My husband and I were over there for a year, and sometimes I didn't have that much to do, and being able to go to Project Gutenberg and get books was really amazing.
Of
course, it's just gotten better.
It has. Some of the material makes my mouth water, of course, because it's available only to a U.S. audience, and that would apply to the Bookshare and Web Braille services that that you're covering.
Yeah, it was. I hate it every time we have to do a book like that and say, well, only some people can get these books, which is why, you know, I included the Canadian system, the Visutext, and I looked into what was available at RNIB, but certainly there didn't seem to be anything. I understand that they're working on improving their copyright laws, and so maybe there'll be more things available through them, and hopefully they'll be able to work with the folks at Bookshare, because I know there's a lot of interest in making these available to more people. And then, of course, the public domain sites and the commercial sites, I guess, anyone can use.
Yeah, tell me about these commercial sites. I mean, obviously, we don't want to give all the secrets of the book away, but I was really intrigued to read about some sites that I hadn't actually been aware of, where you can go and purchase, for example, science fiction literature on the net.
Yeah, Bean Books is really an impressive one, because they put all of their books out in RTF, rich text format, which means that basically anybody with a word processor, that is anyone with Windows, I should say, or a Braille note should be able to just read them. And, of course, if you want to use a Braille light or something, you could convert it from a computer very easily. That's certainly the easiest one to do. And then fictionwise.com has a lot of interesting stuff. Unfortunately, after the book came out, I learned about a cute little program called Mini Reader that can convert Palm documents to text, which makes that site even more usable than I thought it was at the time when I wrote the book. But they do have a nice selection.
Are they kind of name authors at beanbooks.com? Because it seems that rich text format is quite an open format to be using.
It is remarkable. Yeah, I guess, Lois McMaster Bujolt, I'm never sure how to pronounce her name. I believe Mercedes Lackey has some stuff up there, Larry Niven. Spider Robinson, I know, has a couple of his, although I've never found, like, his really hot sellers. Robert Asprin. And some of them put stuff up for free, and then some of them sell it through something called Webscriptions, where you pay for, well, each month they put out four or five new books, and say you pay for the January books, you would get, you know, five books that were done that month for $10. So it's a really reasonably priced site.
And that's really good, because, of course, that's the complete stuff. You don't one of the criticisms that some have of Audible.com is that, you know, there's a lot there, but there's also quite a bit that's abridged, and you don't have that problem with these sites.
No, all of these sites are the full book. In fact, at Bean Books, you can, like right now, you could buy a webscription for September, and you'd be seeing galleys of partial part of the books that are going to be out then, and they'll keep adding to them over the next couple of months. You can actually read them before the whole book before it comes out in print. Kind of a switch.
It's quite remarkable. You know, you also had a look at the Microsoft book reader format. How did you find using that client? Because it's self-voicing.
Well, I didn't actually use it. I basically read a really interesting article by a guy whose name escapes me at the moment, who had done a review of it. It sounds like it will speak some books done by Microsoft, in Microsoft Reader format. Unfortunately, if they have much security to them at all, which a lot of the sites would, you wouldn't be able to use it. So it's a quasi-accessible solution. And I know that Pulse Data is still trying to work with Microsoft to make some version of it for the Braille Note, but I don't know where that is.
Yeah, when we spoke with someone from Microsoft on the program, they pretty much indicated it was on the back burner now, which is most unfortunate.
Yes, it is. It really is. I talked to Larry Lewis at HumanWare, right before I put the book out. I know at that time in like March, they were still hoping to get something done, but it didn't sound like it was going to be next week or anything.
Yeah, right. Can I ask you about the way in which you research books like this? Because not only when you write, but also when we see postings from you on email lists, you know, you always seem to be so in control of whatever subject matter you're writing about. What's the process that leads to that control that you have of subject matter?
Oh, thank you. Well, basically, I just go to a site and really try it out. Bean Books, I bought a web subscription, for instance, or at any of the sites. I like when I go through at a site and say, you do this, you do this, you do this, I'm basically doing it on the computer. Typically, I'll write it on the Braille Note as I'm going through on the computer and doing the steps so that it really can mirror, so what I'm writing can really mirror what I'm doing to try to make as much sense as possible. The folks at the Canadian Library were very nice to give me a temporary password so I could go on their site and do that so that I could give the same kind of step-by-step detail that I did for Web Braille, for instance. Because I think the only way you can really do that is to try it all out and really write it down as you're doing it so that you can give as much detail as possible.
There are conflicting views about where we are heading in the 21st century in terms of internet culture, whether things are going to become a lot more concerned with digital rights management and things. What kind of future do you see for blind people's access to electronic books on the internet?
Well, it's certainly hard to predict which way all the digital rights stuff is going to go. I do think it's encouraging that there are a lot of different things being tried right now. Everything from the Bookshare kind of thing where they really are trying to, be very very careful to be legally, to do what they need to do legally and also make as much available as they can. And then the commercial sites, things like being able to convert some of these, proprietary formats to text or whatever. It seems like, and then the whole DAISY thing as well with trying to create those books. It seems like that there are so many different avenues that, I guess what I'm trying to say is we're in a lot of different things simultaneously. We're going a lot of different directions at once so that hopefully whichever ones become dominant we'll be able to be a part of.
Yeah, and obviously it's the closed formats, the kind of Microsoft eBooks and the similar Adobe product that really gets one worrying, really, although they don't seem to have taken off in the way that a lot of people thought they would.
That's true. They are worrisome, but it's also, the good thing for us is that they are thoroughly annoying to the sighted public as well when they want to do things like print out their e-books or send an interesting passage to a friend or do just normal things that are perfectly legal to do with a book that they're not being allowed to do by all the encryption settings and security settings. At least that does bode well for them to figure out some way to make the whole thing less clunky.
So tell us about how we can get hold of what is a very fascinating read. How do we get this book?
It's available from National Braille Press. You can, if you want to read more about the book, you can go to the website, www.nbp, as in National Braille Press, .org. You can send email to orders at nbp.org. If you're in the U.S. or Canada, you can call 1-800-548-7323. If you're outside of those countries, you can call 617-266-6160, extension 20.
And we will put a link to the website on the main menu page. I've got to ask you this question. Can you buy the book and then download it electronically?
No, we're still hoping to come up with, to put electronic downloading on our site. It's been sort of been talked about now for, a year or two. Sorry, I have a little guy standing in front of me waving at me.
He sounds quite lovely.
Aw, thanks. He's fun.
Yeah.
He's a lot of fun. Anyway, we keep talking about trying to put the ability to buy and download on our site, and it hasn't happened yet. So all I can say is soon. Maybe it'll happen before that we can read ebooks with Microsoft Reader ebooks with the Braille Note.
Well, I should hope so. I mean, since we are talking about downloadable ebooks, it seems only appropriate that that might be the very first one that they offer in that way.
That would be pretty neat.
Wouldn't it, though? Are you able to tell us what else you're working on? Do you have anything specifically that you're starting on right now?
Well, right now I'm editing a book to teach Microsoft Word to children. That's a lot of fun. We're doing, it's kind of fun to have a book where you can put in excerpts from Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing. So that's my big thing right now. We're doing two books on that, a beginning and a more advanced book. And then hopefully somewhere down the line I'll be working on something about electronic music, but we're kind of in the beginning stages of that right now.
Well, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, and I really enjoy your writing a lot, and I hope that people take a look at this book and purchase it, because I found it most informative, so I appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me, and I'm glad you enjoyed the book, and I hope that everyone that gets it can find some useful books.